a songwriter wrote these famous lyrics in the 1940s, and they go a little bit something like this. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return. It's a famous quote. We all just want to be loved. We think that that is the greatest thing. But sometimes what we do is we look for love in the wrong places. We go to the wrong places to try and find love. And so our world often equates love with sex. In order to be really loved, you've got to be doing it as much as you can, as often as possible, with whoever. It doesn't matter. You see, 25% of Australian teenagers, by the time they've reached the age of 16, have had sexual intercourse. At school, people might claim to have done it, but only a quarter. But that's still a lot of people. 40% of 16-year-old boys have deliberately looked out for and searched for sex websites. I believe that statistic's probably a little bit higher now. What it means is, if you're a Christian and you live in Australia, there's a great temptation because of what people at school are doing, because of what people in the world are doing, and what they're claiming to be doing, to actually look for love in the same places that they're trying to look for love. Is God against sex? No, not at all. God isn't against sex. He invented it, but he invented it to be expressed in the proper way between one man and one woman in a relationship called marriage. Well done. So God isn't against sex. He made it, and it is good. But God is against sex done the wrong way. God is against sex done outside of his plans for it. And this is what the Bible refers to as sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is not doing sex God's way. Now, quick show of hands if you're still in primary school. Okay, just a couple. That means most of us here are in high school or above. Some of us look like we're a long way out of primary school and even high school. But can you remember the whole boyfriend, girlfriend thing in primary school? It was just a bit of harmless fun in lots of ways. So I'd say to my friend Darren, "Darren, can you go and ask Katie out for me?" And so Darren would go over to Chloe and say, "Chloe, can you ask Katie to go out with Dave?" And then Chloe would go over to Katie and say, "Katie, Dave wants to go out with you." She says yes. Chloe comes back to Darren and says, "Darren, tell David that tell David that Katie wants to go out with him." And anyway, so we're going out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't talk once the whole time. And then the worst news of all comes. Chloe says to Darren one more time, a message. Darren passes it on and says, "David, you dropped." That's pretty much how primary school relationships work, yeah? You go out, you don't go anywhere near them, you don't touch them. They're relatively innocent, relatively harmless. But you know what? If you're no longer in primary school, if you're in high school or beyond, this stuff is serious. Boyfriend, girlfriend, this type of stuff, there's a lot more at stake. There are a lot more dangers now that you're in high school. Now, I really need to check this up before we go any further. Quick show of hands if you do know where babies come from. Where you do know where babies come from. Okay, hands down. Here's a secret. I'm not going to tell you where babies come from, okay? But if you do need to learn where babies come from, I've got two places you could go. The first one is to this book called Where Did I Come From? I read it in the 80s. I read it so many times. The Facts of Life, without any nonsense, and with illustrations. Oh, do you want to see any? You filthy people. We won't keep going. There's some fantastic pictures in there. You can check out that book only if it's at home on the bookshelf. That means you're allowed to read that particular book. Or tonight on the way home, if you don't know where babies come from, just say to mum or dad or whoever you show, mum, dad, where did I come from? come from? And I reckon you're going to get home pretty damn quickly tonight. You know, as we look at the Bible tonight, we're actually going to be thinking about how to avoid the temptation of looking for love in the wrong places. Looking for love through sexual experiences, through doing it with whoever, whenever. And so we're going to look at the book 1 Corinthians. So make sure you've either got a Bible open or you've got a yellow piece of paper there that's got the passage on it. But 1 Corinthians, there's a church in the place called Corinth 2 years ago. And that, Yes. 2,000 years ago. Close, give or take 1,998 years. And there's a church in Corinth, and they were known for bizarre Jerry Springer. Is that TV show still on where crazy things happen? Jerry Springer-style relationships happened. Sexual immorality happened. If you have a look at chapter 5, verse 1, which is in the Bible, if you have an outline, just listen along. Chapter 5, verse 1, the chapter before the bit we had read out, it says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife." Now, a man hooked up with his dad's wife, that could be his mum. It probably isn't, but it's probably his stepmum. Either way, it's altogether weird, altogether gross, and disgusting. That is not God's plan for sexuality and for love. Now, Paul's message, the guy who wrote this letter to the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago, is really quite a simple one to them, but it's actually a message that is just as relevant to us today. Have a look at verse 18, chapter 6, verse 18. What does it say? It says, "Flee from sexual immorality." That, if you hear nothing else tonight, that is the point of this passage. That is the point of this talk. We are to flee from sexual immorality. We're to run in the opposite direction from sexual immorality. Now, my guess is that in a group this big, most of us are closet pyromaniacs. You know what I mean by that? We love to play with fire. Boys, in particular, like to play with fire. I can see some guys going, yes. There's one guy at the back there flicking a cigarette light. I'm just joking. That's not really happening. Wait, stop. Stop. You know, on youth group camps, when I go on them, there's always some boys who are a little bit stupid, okay? You're around the campfire, singing kumbaya, having a great time, and they always just want to get a little bit too close. See how close they can get without being burnt. More often than not, they do get burnt. You know what? Sexual immorality isn't like some small little campfire. Sexual immorality is like a deadly bushfire. Where I live up on the Central Coast, every year over summer, there are deadly bushfires. And you know what? People don't stand there and look at the fire and see, how close can I get? They get in their car, they pack up their house, and they get the heck out of there. They run in the opposite direction. And that's the big idea in the Bible passage tonight. We are to flee. We are to see how close we can get to the fire without being burnt. We're to run in the opposite direction from sexual immorality. But the question we're going to ask is, why? Why are we to flee from sexual immorality? Well, why can't we get as close to the fire without being burnt? Why can't we just put our finger in a little bit and get a little bit burnt? Well, there's three reasons I want to show you. And the first reason is because of why we were made. Have a look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. It says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. You see, God made us. And he didn't make us for sexual immorality. He didn't make us for doing sex outside of God's plans. Rather, God made us for the Lord. He made us for Jesus. The reason why we exist, the reason why I exist, the reason why every single one of you here tonight exists is not to please yourself, but it's to please Jesus. It's to please your Creator. Now, in my pocket I've got a pen, and this pen can be used for a number of things. Again, I can see some boys up the back playing with pens. They've just created a pea shooter. Pea shooters are fun. You take the actual pen out, and what do? You get some paper. And you spit at people. That's good fun at school. Pens can also be used against your enemies. Okay, you can poke people in the eye. That's pretty cool. I've seen some movies lately where people have been stabbed in the hands. It's crazy. You can use a pen for that. But is that why it was made? No, that is not why it was made. Yes, you can use it for that. The reason why a pen was made was to write stuff. Yeah? You have a pen, you write stuff with it. You can do all sorts of things with your life. But you know what? You were made by Jesus and for Jesus. Yeah, you can do whatever you like, but the reason why you exist, the purpose of your life, is Jesus. What's the meaning of life? Jesus. We were made by him and we were made for him. You know, television, magazines, movies. We saw just a few hours worth of television there from one particular night with a message that was constantly being preached. We listen to pop songs by bands like the Veronicas. We look at advertising. We listen to our friends at school. And all of these people are trying to convince us that we were made for sex and having it as often as possible. But no, you were made for the Lord. You weren't made to please yourself, but you were made to please him. And so there's the first thing. The second thing, the second reason why we are to flee from sexual immorality, it's because of Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, God has done something incredible through the work of Jesus. Each of us, every single one of us in this room, every single person throughout history has not always treated God as God. We haven't always given God the glory that he deserves. We've actually tried to be God ourselves, and the Bible calls this sin. Each of us has sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. Yet Jesus, as he dies on the cross, shows an incredible love to bring us back to God. Have a look at verse number 20. It says, I'll just read from the bit before it. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You were bought at a price. Jesus on that cross 2,000 years ago paid the ultimate sacrifice. He showed you an incredible love. As he died there on that cross, he took our sin upon himself. You see, every single one of us have sinned, but Jesus. Jesus lived the perfect life. He didn't sin. He always lived as he was supposed to live. And so he dies the death that we should have died, the death that we deserved. On the cross, 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the ultimate price to bring us back to God, back to relationship with him. But not only did Jesus die, we know this. Have a look at verse 14. What does it say? By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Jesus didn't just stay dead. Jesus rose again in victory, physically. He rose from the grave. And the Christian, if you've got your trust in Jesus tonight, you too will one day be raised. You too will one day be physically raised. So where have we been so far? Why flee from sexual immorality? What's the big point tonight? Flee. Run in the opposite direction from sexual immorality. Why? So far we've got two reasons. Number one, because of why we were made. Number two, because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Therefore, ultimately, we are to flee from sexual immorality because of who we are now in Jesus. That is, we're made by him, we're saved by him. And so the third reason is because we belong to God. And therefore, our bodies matter. You got that? We were made for Jesus. We were saved by Jesus. And therefore, we are now totally different people. We now belong to God. And our bodies matter. Have a look at verse 13. Oh, we've already looked at verse 13. What did it say there? Our bodies were made for the Lord. Have a look at verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? We're members of Jesus' body. We're part of Jesus. We belong to Christ. And so the second half of 15 there, shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. You see, we're united to Jesus. We're united with him. And so it's wrong for us to be united with a prostitute. It's wrong for us to be involved in any form of sexual immorality, no matter what sort it is. Have a look at verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You're sinning against God. You're sinning against yourself. Sexual sin, sexual immorality, yeah, all sin is sin, but it's a sin that hurts you and it hurts others. And it's not for the Christian. Have a look at verse 19 and what God has given to the Christian. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? God's Spirit lives in you. And all of this means, have a look at verse 19 again. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, how do we live when it comes to sexual immorality? We honor God with our body by fleeing from it. We honor God with our body. If you're a Christian here tonight, if your trust is in Jesus, you need to hear this word. You need to recognize who you are in Jesus. You no longer live for yourself, but you live for your King who died for you and was raised again. You don't belong to yourself, you belong to Jesus. Therefore, honor him with your body. Honor him with the way that you view sex. Now, a key question that some of you might well be thinking because of things that have happened in your past, because of the things that may have happened last week. What if you've stuffed up? What if you have been so close to the fire, you've been in the fire, you have not tried to run in the opposite direction from the fire? What if you haven't honoured God with your body? There's good news. If you've got a Bible, have a look at it. If not, just listen up. Chapter 6, verse 9. It says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See the words there at the start of verse 11? And that is what some of you were. You know what the good news is? If you have stuffed up, or in the future, if you stuff up, if you stumble in this area, no matter what you've done, those that trust in Jesus can be forgiven of any and every sin, including the grossest of sexual sin. Does that mean that we can just go and commit sexual immorality left, right and centre and live like the world and just come back and go and say sorry? No, we don't live like that. It's not a license to go and sin, but if you have fallen, or if one day you do fall in this area, don't stay in the fire. Get up and run away from sexual immorality and throw yourself on Jesus and trust in Jesus. You know, I want to simply close by saying that God wants for you what is best. God isn't some type of killjoy. When it comes to sex, God's way really is better than the world's way. Marriage, the place where sex is to be expressed appropriately, is a good thing. Trust me, fantastic. Much better than the world's way. But don't just trust my word, trust God's word. He says his way is best. He wants what is best for you. You know, you might be tempted tonight, and as you live in this world where we've got images constantly being preached to us from billboards, from magazines, from all those places, you might be tempted to look for love in the wrong places. You might be tempted to look at stupid, disgusting, terrible things on the internet. You might be tempted to push the boundaries at a party or with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You might be tempted to ignore God's word tonight. I just want to encourage you to trust God. Listen to him. Obey him. Don't try to get so close to that fire, but run in the opposite direction. Flee from sexual immorality. God knows what is best. Now, there's a number of books that I recommend to young crew like you guys in youth groups I've led in the past. There's three books by John Dixon. One's called Hanging In There, one's called A Sneaking Suspicion, this one, and one's called A Hell of a Life. I reckon you should try to read all three of these books by the time you finish high school. They are awesome books. But in this book called A Sneaking Suspicion, John Dixon has a fantastic illustration where he compares a Porsche and a Datsun. I'm going to read out this illustration to you, and I hope you're encouraged by it as well. Here's what it says. My first car, this is John Dixon speaking, was an orange Datsun 1200. It got me from A to B, but it really was a rust bucket. It only cost me $1,000, so I didn't treat it too well and had no problem lending it out to any of my friends. I figured that if they crashed it, it was no big deal. Suppose, though, I owned a Porsche 968. I can assure you, I'd care for it with my life and certainly wouldn't lend it out. In my mind, such a valuable machine deserves the utmost care. What's this got to do with sex and relationships? The media sexperts can fool us into believing a Datsun view of sex. That is, you lend it out, it's not that special. But in God's eyes, sex is more like a Porsche. It is valuable. It demands care. It is something precious to us and to Him, not merely the machinery by which we get about and enjoy ourselves. Sex is valuable. Sex demands care. We're to be those who trust God on this one and flee from the world's view of sex and looking for love in all the wrong places. And trust God and treat sex how God wants us to treat sex. Well, finally, I've got four quick tips. These won't take long to quickly say to you, but four tips to help you to think about how you're going to flee from sexual immorality. These are tips that I need to hear. These are tips that your leaders need to hear. These would be tips that would be good to talk about these things in the car on the way home tonight. These are some really good things. The first thing is, know who you are in Jesus. Just keep being reminded every single day of who you are in Jesus. Remember the stuff we've talked about in this talk, that we were made by Jesus, that we were saved by Jesus, that we belong to Jesus. Remember that every single day. Secondly, get accountable. What does that mean? If you're struggling with sexual immorality or temptation to look for love in the wrong places, talk to a Christian friend, talk to a Christian family member, talk to your Christian youth group leader, and make sure that they ask you the hard questions, and you be honest with them. Get accountable. Number three, don't play with fire. It's stupid. Don't try to get so close to the flames without getting burnt. If the internet's causing you problems, cut it off. Stop using it. If you're tempted to go too far with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you need to do something about that. You need to run in the opposite direction. If you're crazy enough to even consider going out with a non-Christian, don't. That's the stupidest thing you could do. They're going to want to live the world's way and not God's way. So number one, know who you are in Jesus. Number two, get accountable. Number three, don't play with fire. And number four, pray. I'm going to do that now. Dear God, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that you've made us. We thank you that you've saved us by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that you've put your Spirit within us. We pray that you would help us to run and flee from sexual immorality. Please help us to know that you know what is best. Please help us to trust you. Please help us to be accountable with one another. Please help us not to play with fire. And please help us to honour you with our bodies. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.